Say this, the word of God, is the answer. Now say it with some feeling. The word of God is the answer. Now say this,
the word of God
is my answer. Now, look at your neighbor and say this to your neighbor. The word of God is your answer. Amen. I want you to open your Bibles up to the book of Jonah. We, in our church, like to turn different places in the Bible so we can become familiar with it. But today, we're going to only turn to one text, or one book of the Bible, and that's going to be the book of Jonah. So you can just find your way there, and I'm going to be reading from the traditional King James Version. And our subject is, where are you? Where are you? Wrong place, good place, or set place? Where are you? Are you in the wrong place? Or are you in a good place? Or are you in the set place for you? Now, this is our second lesson, and the theme of this series is, the theme is proper alignment. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about proper alignment, or we could say proper placement. We talked about last week about divine alignment, and we talked about what that means and gave several definitions, and we talked about destiny, and we talked about how our position is connected to our destiny. So please get that. Today, I'm gonna talk about wrong place. Jensen Franklin, in his book, Right People, Right Place, and Right Plan, says, one of God's primary purposes for your life is proper placement. Being in the right place at the right time is an important key to discovering God's will for your life. He says God gives us a purpose, He gives us a mission, and He says God gives us a place. As I said earlier in lesson one, I gave you several definitions of the word alignment, and I won't go back to those definitions, but I want to give you one more that I think is very simple definition. Alignment, or to align, simply means to arrange so that things or people are in proper position. Alignment, to arrange so that things or people are in proper position. Yesterday, I had some tires put on my car, put on Tiffany's car, and I wanted to make sure that we not just got new tires, but that the car would be put in alignment. Poor alignment makes tires wear out faster. Poor alignment causes gas mileage to go down. And poor alignment affects the driver's control and handling. If the car is out of alignment, then it'll end up pulling. Sometimes it'll pull to one side. It'll pull. If it's out of alignment, sometimes it'll cause the car to shake. That's the way our life is. If we're not in alignment, sometimes we get pulled in a direction that we don't need to be in. We end up shaking in our lives. So today we're going to talk about wrong place. Where are you? Wrong place, good place, set place. Now allow me to give some definitions of wrong place, and you're going to see that wrong place is not just geographic, but it's holistic. So let's look at and get on the same page as it relates to wrong place. What is wrong place? Wrong place is a place where you are not growing spiritually. It is a what? Place where you're not growing spiritually. Now, that can be an environment place like a church or ministry. You're not growing spiritually in the wrong place. Or it can be in your own personal life. You're in a place where you're not growing spiritually. You see, I've been saved 40 years. I'm close to 41 years saved. And I believe that I'm much more mature now than I was October the 4th, 1977. You see, as we walk with God, we should mature. We shouldn't stay in the same place. There are things that bother us when we first got saved shouldn't bother us today. There are little issues that should be minor to us today. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, walking around with grudges and things in our hearts, that's immaturity. Does that make sense to you? Getting upset because somebody didn't speak to you and not being able to sleep, that's immaturity. When you grow, things like that doesn't bother you. You're quick to forgive. So wrong place can be related to our spiritual growth and development. Secondly, wrong place can be a negative environment. A negative environment where your Christian walk will be compromised. There are some environments that do not help us to stay on the right path. So the wrong place can be a negative environment. The wrong place can be a relationship. A relationship that puts pressure on you, put pressure on me, put pressure on us to sin. It can be a relationship that puts pressure on us and dampens our spirituality, robs us of our energy to pursue God. We love God. We say we feel with the Spirit. We want to walk with God, but we love this person too. And it's something about whenever we get around this person, it's something about it dampens our energy, our spiritual energy, and we find ourselves doing things that we know is not right, even though we love God, but it's something about being with this person. You see, it's the wrong place if every time you leave that person, you have to say, God, forgive me, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me, Lord. See, if you have to constantly ask God to forgive you every time you're around that person, it's because you're in the wrong place. Wrong place can be an attitude, a frame of mind whereby you just don't want to do what God wants you to do. You know what God said, but you just don't want to do it. God spoke to me years ago about starting a church in Livingston. I didn't even know what Livingston was. And then when I found out where it was, it's over 100 miles away. Took me 2 years to just go down there. Well, we finally started the church down there, but to be honest with you, I didn't want to go. And I know I'm the only person that knew what God wanted me to do, but you just didn't want to. Sometimes it's just a frame of mind. It's an attitude. I don't want to do it. I know it's you, God, but I just don't want to do it. It's the wrong place. Sometimes it can be geography. It can be a physical place. The wrong place is anywhere other than where God wants you to be. God wants you to be in New York. You're in California. You're in the wrong place. Wrong place can be geography. And then the wrong place can be a position. You can be doing something that God has not commissioned you to do. You can be doing something that you're not equipped to do. Years ago, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you lack skill and skill position. What he was saying is that we had some people who were in a position that they didn't have the skill to fulfill it and to carry it out in a successful manner. Good people, not bad people. Love God, love pastor, love the church. Just in the wrong place. Say wrong place. Say wrong place. Now, let me ask you a question. Where are you? Turn to your neighbor. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Say, where are you? Now, ask them. You're in the wrong place? Now, I want you to turn over to Jonah and hold your place there. We're going to get there in a minute. But let's talk about some other folk who were in the wrong place, and then we're going to look at Jonah. Abraham was in the wrong place over in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 13. He was in the wrong place. God had spoke to Abraham and instructed him to go to a land. And he said, I'm going to show you where to go. And the Bible said when Abraham got there in Canaan where God wanted him to be, there was a famine in the land. So Abraham came up with the great idea, let's go down to Egypt. Come on, say wrong place. Egypt was the wrong place. On the way down to Egypt, he looked over at Sarah about 65 years old, and fine as all get out. You talking about fine? You talking about fine? She was good looking. He looked at his wife, and he said, now listen. You know, when you're going some of these regions, they kill the husband for the wife. So I want you to tell them that I'm your brother. She got down in Egypt. And guess what? The scripture says that when they walked in Egypt, all the folk looked at her. She was good to look at. Can you imagine? She's 65 years old. The whole city said, boy, that's a fine thing right there. The princess of Pharaoh heard about Sarah, how beautiful she was. This is in the scripture. Went and told Pharaoh, you need to see this girl. Pharaoh saw Sarah and pulled her into his house, his harem. And Abraham sitting up there counting all his money. Because guess what? Pharaoh was blessing Abraham because he thought it was his brother. So he wanted to sweeten up his brother and had pulled that girl into his harem. God had to do something supernaturally to rescue Sarah. Abraham was in the wrong place. Why was he in the wrong place? He was in the wrong place because of adverse circumstances, pressure, fear. Anybody ever been led by pressure? Anybody been led by adverse circumstances? Anybody been led by fear? Years ago, I borrowed some money. Oh, Lord, hear the money borrowing story. We borrowed some money in the church. We were already debt-free, borrowed some money in the church. We're about $7 million away. We hit some pressure. God said, don't borrow no money. He had given us $16 million to pay for this building debt-free, had given us $20 million over there in the activity center. We needed about six, seven more. And we ran into a situation where we had to pay some contractors and things to look a little tight. Banks saying, I'll give you some money. In fact, they wanted to give us some money. They always talking about giving us some money. Give us some money. Give us some money. Give us some money. Give us some money. Hit a little pressure and we borrowed some money. Say, wrong place. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Pressure, see? Pressure. Sometimes we end up in the wrong place because we hit the wrong thing. We hit adverse circumstances. Sometimes we feel pressure. Sometimes we feel fear. We end up in the wrong place. Lot end up in the wrong place. Over in Genesis chapter 13 and 14 and 19, the Bible says that Abraham and Lot, who were relatives, came out of Egypt wealthy. Said the herdsmen of Abraham and the herdsmen of Lot got into strife because they had all these cattle, but they didn't have enough room for the cattle. So Abraham looked at Lot and said, hey, listen, we brothers, we shouldn't be fighting like this. You choose You go to the right, I go to the left. You go to the left, I go to the right. And the scripture says that Lot looked out over the land. Watch this now. And he saw the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered. It was the best land in his mind. And he said, oh, I'm going to go down here. And the Bible says he went down there. And listen to what the scripture says. The scripture says he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, Sodom and Gomorrah was wicked cities. Come on, say wrong place. Come on, say wrong place. And the scripture says, not only did he pitch his tent towards Sodom, in the 14th chapter, the Bible said he was in Sodom. Then when he got over to the 19th chapter, we discovered that Sodom got in him. Got in his wife and got in his girls. God said, I'm going to destroy this city. I want to get Lot out of this city and his family out of this city. I want you, the angels came down and said, yeah, get out of the city. Watch this. And Lot went and talked to his wife and his kids, and they wouldn't listen to him. Angels had to pick him up, put him outside of the city, said, run for your life and don't look back. His wife looked back, turned to a pillar of salt. His girls, they got up in the mountain. His girls, the older, had two girls. The oldest girl looked at the younger sister and said, hey, ain't no man up here. Nobody up here but us and daddy. I'm going to go and sleep with him today and have a baby. You're going to sleep with him the next time. We're going to have us some babies. Wrong place. Come on, say wrong place. Now, David was in the wrong place. Over in 2 Samuel chapter 11, he was in the wrong place. The Bible says at the time when kings go to war, David stayed in Jerusalem. Took a nap one day and stood up on the rooftop, looked across the rooftop and started watching the Playboy Channel. There was a little girl, fine little girl, down there taking a bath in the open, washing herself. And he's just looking, washing herself. So he inquired of her and found out she was Uriah's wife. Lust captured him. He called up there, had sex with the girl, got her pregnant, then conspired to kill her husband, had her husband killed, and then married the girl. Come on, say wrong place. The prodigal son ended up in the wrong place. In Luke chapter 15, he was in the wrong place. He was in the wrong place. Say the wrong place. Let's go back to David. Let's go back to David. How did David get up in the wrong place? We know how Abraham got in the wrong place. How did David get in the wrong place? Well, let's go back to Lot. How did Lot get in the wrong place? Lot got in the wrong place because of opportunity. He looked out there and saw all the Jordan well watered. He got led by what appeared to be a good opportunity. So many Christians are being led by opportunities and end up in the wrong place. How did David get in the wrong place? David got in the wrong place because of a lack of balance. He working, 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 and he got tired. Fatigue will get you in the wrong place. If you don't balance your life, balance your family life, balance your health life, get you some rest, exercise, you end up fatigued, you end up in the wrong place. He ended up in the wrong place because he was flirting. Now, I can't prove it. You can't disprove it. But I don't believe when he went up there and started watching the Playboy station, I don't believe that's the first time he started watching the Playboy station. You see, Uriah was close, was a soldier of David. Uriah's house was down on the lower level, close proximity to David's house. That girl had been coming out there washing herself a lot of times. That's why David said, I'm going to stay at the house this time right now. So she down there washing herself like looking up, and he up there. When he should have been out to war, he looking. It didn't start right there. It started with flirting. Sometimes you could just be flirting. and end up in what? In the wrong place. The prodigal end up in the wrong place, in the hog pen of life, broke and lonely. He'd have been in the wrong place because he didn't want to be on authority. He didn't want anybody to tell him what to do. He was immature and impulsive, and he ended up in the wrong place. Come on, say the wrong place. Let's look at, ask your neighbor, what are you in? Where are you? Come on, ask him. Come on, ask him. Are you in the wrong place? Let's look at Jonah. Let's look at Jonah. Because Jonah ended up in the wrong place. Say wrong place. Jonah ended up in the wrong place because he has some unresolved anger that turned to bitterness that ended up in hatred. Jonah was in the wrong place because he had prejudice in his life. A lot of people are not being led by the Spirit. They're being led by prejudice. He ended up in the wrong place because of pride. God wanted him to do one thing. He wanted to do something else. He ended up in the wrong place because he put logic with his pride and felt comfortable being in the wrong place. Sometimes you can be in the wrong place and feel very comfortable. Sometimes you can justify being in the wrong place. You can tell yourself God told you. Let's look at Jonah. Let's look at Jonah. Let's look at Jonah chapter 1. Jonah chapter 1. I'm going to read the first five verses. Then we're going to peruse verses 6 through 16. And then we're going to pick up at the 17th verse. Jonah chapter 1 verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And the word of the Lord said to Jonah, arise, verse 2, go to Nineveh. Say Nineveh. Come on, say, Nineveh is the right place. Go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up against me. Now, Nineveh was about a little over 500 miles away. That's a good distance to go. Good distance to go by foot, by 500 miles away. But it's where God wanted them to be. You can't consider distance when God wants you somewhere. Amen. That's good. Somebody said, well, you know that. I like to come to that church, but y'all a little too far out. No, we ain't too far out if God wants you here. Amen. There's some people, how far y'all drive? How far y'all drive? Huh? They drive 120 miles. One way. 120 miles one way. And we got people watching me on television right now, watching me on the internet right now. Live less than 20 miles. Can't get to church because they're going to watch it on TV. Come on, say wrong place. See, it's the wrong place to be watching the internet when you can go to church. That's a little different, ain't it? That's a little different. You can be at home watching the internet when you should be in church. Because the Bible said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves to go. It didn't say stay at home and watch the internet. Oh, didn't get nothing on that. Maybe the folk at home say amen, say amen. Okay, now watch this. So he says, I want you to go to Nineveh, but then look at what it says in verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish. Said Tarshish. Wrong place. It is the wrong place. He went from the he was trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. He went down, come on, say, went down. To Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down, into it to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now this is very interesting because the right place was 500 miles east. And he's going 200. Tarshish is 2,500 miles west. taking possibly a month to get to Nineveh, probably a year to get where he's going. So he's trying to get as far as he can. Listen, y'all, the boy resigned. He turned in his prophet's papers. Yes, he did. He had no intent of preaching anymore. He turned in the prophet. He said, I ain't doing that. He turned in his preacher's papers and was trying to get as far away as he could. Far as way as he could. And you know what was interesting? He went down to Joppa, and guess what happened? A ship was down there going to the place where he wanted to go. And then when he asked for the fare, how much it cost, he had just enough money in his pocket to get to Tarshish. You know the Lord is in this. Because the ship weighed down on me. And I got the money, right? Which tells me that it's possible to be out of God's will and still have circumstance that appear to be working for you. I think sometimes when the devil sets it up, he fixes all the circumstances to keep us out of God's will. But the Lord, verse 5, sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a great tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down. Three times he went down, down, down. He was gone down into the side of the ship, and he lay and was what? Hebrew says he was snoring. Implies that he down there snoring out of the will of God. It's something about being out of the will of God. If you're out of the will of God long enough, you have a false sense of security. That it doesn't even bother you. In fact, you feel all right about it. He's fast asleep. Let me peruse the next 6 through the 16th verses. The shipmaster went down because everybody, they're in a storm. They lightening up the ship, throwing stuff off the ship. Everybody praying to their God because they believe in different God. Pray to your God. Pray to your God. Went down there and saw Jonah asleep. He said, man, what you doing down here? You don't need to be up here praying, man. You need to be up here praying. Don't you know we're going to die on this ship? You need to be up here praying. Bible said they cast lots to find out who was causing the trouble. Lot fell on Jonah. And then they went back to Jonah and said, hey, who are you? Where are you from? What's going on? And John, after cross-examination, he finally, listen, I'm a Hebrew, I serve God. He's the God that made the heavens and the earth. He controlled the sea and everything. And I'm running from him. I'm running from him. I'm running from it. And he had enough sense to say, y'all in this trouble because of me. Then they said, well, they looked at him. They stopped praying to God. They said, what are we going to do? Listen to what Jonah said. He said, throw me all overboard. I never would have said that. Hey, would you have said that? Even if I were guilty, I wouldn't have said that. Listen, I'd have said, listen, I'm out of the will of God. Take me back to Joppa. Take me to Joppa. Let me off. I get back in the will of God. Y'all go on by your way. I wouldn't have said, throw me off the boat. He said, throw me off the boat. They said, no, we can't throw you off the boat. I'm paraphrasing that. We can't throw you off the boat. And they were trying to take the ship to land, but the ship wouldn't go to land. And they said, well. They said, we tried. We tried. They throw that boy over. This is not an allegory, y'all. This is not a myth. This is a real story. Now look at what it says in the 17th verse. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. It didn't say a whale, a great fish. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. That's supernatural, baby. think about it, that's supernatural. To be swallowed up by a fish and not suffocate and not drown. And you just floating around on the inside. Oh, got caught up with some seaweeds on the inside. But watch this, the second chapter says he started praying. That's supernatural. It had to be something supernatural going to sustain him like that and to protect him. Even though he's in the fish, he has the capacity to talk to God, and he started praying, boy. He started praying. He started repenting. He started repenting in the fish belly. See, God sent the fish not to hurt him. So I sent the fish to protect him, to preserve him, to get him back on track. This is a mercy thing. This is a mercy thing, man. And he finally came to him, sis. He said, salvation is of the Lord. I've been observing lying vanities. And the Bible said a fish vomited him up on dry land. That is supernatural. Watch this. Then the word of the Lord came to him again. Same word. Say, same word.
Same word.
Go to Nineveh. And cry out against it. And the boy went on right on down to Nineveh. Got down to Nineveh and preached 40 days. You got 40 days to get yourself together. 40 days to get yourself together. 40 days. And see, Jonah, let me tell you something. His heart wasn't right. He didn't want the Lord to have mercy on him. He wanted the Lord to kill him. Because they were mean. They were violent. They would take their victims and torture them. Constant threat to Israel. So Jonah didn't want mercy. That's why he was running. Part of the reason why he was running, because he thought, you know, God going to forgive him. Went down there, preached, everybody repented. From the least to the greatest. They fasted, they repented, and then Jonah got mad. What kind of prophet is this? Got mad because the folk got saved. Said wrong place. Now let's close and talk about the consequences of being in the wrong place. Number one, when you're in the wrong place, we create problems for ourselves and we face temptations and challenges God never intended for us to have to deal with. We create problems for ourselves when we're in the wrong place. We create challenges for ourselves and issues for ourselves that God never intended for us to experience. And if I didn't give you any other reasons for being in the right place, this would be enough. Don't create problems for yourself. So many times we say it's the devil did this, the devil did this, the devil did it, the devil. But a lot of times we create problems for ourselves. See, David and Bathsheba, now I'm telling you, there was some flirting going on. She didn't cry long after her husband died. She cried a while. I'm telling you, it was some flirting going on. See, sometimes we create problems for ourselves. Number two, when we're in the wrong place, we lead others into the wrong place. And we cause hardships to them that they shouldn't have to deal with. Let's look at the ones we talked about. Sarah was put in an uncompromising position. She never should have been in Pharaoh's house. Abraham made a decision and got his own wife in that house. She never should have been in that house. Lot's wife didn't make it out of Sodom. And the girls end up in a backslidden state. Where did they learn that from? Have sex with your daddy? They conspired to have sex with the daddy. Where did they learn that from? Down in Sodom. The result of a decision that the daddy made, which tells us fathers and husbands, as leaders of our families, that we can make decisions that cause trauma for our whole house. Number three, what happens when we're in the wrong place? We lose the protection that obedience, submission, and accountability provides for us. There is a protection that we have when we obey God, when we submit it to God, when we're accountable. There's a protection that we have. Yeah, we're going to have some problems, but there's some protection we have. Jesus said, you can't take my life. He said, I'll lay it down, but you can't take it. They tried to stone him, tried to throw him over a cliff, but they couldn't throw him over a cliff because he was in alignment with God. There's a protection that you have. What happens when we're in the wrong place? We end up frustrated because our best efforts don't bring success and fulfillment. The sailors said, we're going to try to get you to the shore. They worked hard to get them to the shore, but your best efforts is not going to work. Never going to bring fulfillment, never going to be truly successful. And I said it last week, it's possible to achieve things and not be successful. End up your life, you've done all these great things, everybody's celebrating you, and you've done nothing for God. Totally ignored God. What happens when we're in the wrong place? Number five, we lack the grace to be successful and operate on a high level spiritually. When I'm where God wants, there's grace. Pete says, I don't know how you do the stuff you do. She said, I don't know how you do the stuff you do. Grace. I went to bed the other morning. Was that Thursday, Friday? I went to bed at 5:30. I stayed up all night preparing, all night. In fact, I said, I'm going to lay down and I looked through the blinds. It was daylight. How you do that? How you stay there long hours? How you spend all that time? Grace. See, when you're not in the right place, you're not going to have the grace. What happens when we're in the wrong place? We miss out on divine connections that impact our lives and our destiny. Now watch this, watch this, watch this. Ephesians 2:10 Amplified says that there's a set path. A what?
Set path.
Set path. Now watch this. When I walk through this path, Thias is there. James is there, Jermaine is there. See, I'm walking this path. And let's say these are people that God has ordained. These are divine connections, right? Ronald's along this path. Peter's along this path. Divine connections, right? But let's say I'm walking over here. But my divine connections is over there. Now, these are good people along here. Drew is a good guy. These nice people, good. But my divine connections, it's over on the path. Now, my divine connections are connected to my destiny. Some people are not in the right place. So they connect into people that can't help them with their destiny. What happens when we're in the wrong place? We lose our testimony and influence with people we should or could influence. Abraham lost his influence with Pharaoh. Jonah lost his influence with the sailors on the ship. Lot lost his influence with his family. David lost his influence with Joab. Joab was the general of the army. David told the general of the army to put the boy in the front line and withdraw the troops. Now, what do you think Joab think about David? I'm going to watch that dude right now. He my boss, but I'm sure gonna watch him. Because if he'll put his own soldier and make us leave, I don't trust him. David was in the wrong place. He lost his influence with people. What happens, number 8, we receive no further instructions from God. And so we have to fabricate our own. If you read Jonah chapter 1, at the very beginning, the first 2 or 3 verses said the word of the Lord came. You don't hear no more word of the Lord till the 3rd chapter. Because all this other time, he's out of the will of God. So when we're not in the right place, we don't get any more instructions. So it's in the gap when people start fabricating their own instructions. God said it. God told me. God revealed it to me. God led me. God ain't said nothing. That's why people are unhappy, unfulfilled, because God hasn't said nothing. They fabricated their own thing because God is not speaking. When God is not speaking, we fabricate our own instructions. And God is not going to speak to us when we're in the wrong place. God said one thing, go to Nineveh, but he was through with that. You don't hear no more about God. God ain't saying nothing else. The moment he repented in that well, and that fish, the moment he repented, got on that land, God spoke to him again. Same word. God ain't gonna change what he told you to do. And I ain't talking to everybody now. I'm in the spirit. God is not gonna change what he told you to do. So you can quit praying about some further instructions. I ain't talking to everybody. You can just quit praying about further instructions. You know, I ain't talking to everybody. You know what God said to you. You know what he said to you. You don't need no clarity. You don't need no Hebrew. You don't need no further instructions. You know. What happens when we're out of God's will? We're in the wrong place. We end up in a false sense of security, deception, and disillusionment. We end up sleep in the wrong place. Number 10, what happens? We begin the process of going down. Here's a statement. My next to last closing. Because I could tell I got your attention. Oh, I can tell. Y'all in the same place, first service while y'all, I can tell. Y'all like, y'all got that look like. You normally have that look, man, I got to go to lunch. You ain't got that look today. You ain't got that look today. Like, here's the statement. Write this down. You cannot be in the wrong place and end up in the right place. Now you can be in the wrong place and end up in a fish belly. But you can't be in the wrong place and end up in the right place. Now you can repent. Thank God that we can repent. And that's the thing of Jonah, is we can repent and get in the right place. But we cannot be in the wrong place and get to the right place. Jonah's best efforts, highest hopes, would not have produced success, fulfillment, and purpose for him in Tarshish. Tarshish was the wrong place. God told him to arise, go to Nineveh. We cannot change God's purpose. We cannot change his assignment. We cannot change his placement for our life and be happy, successful, and fulfilled. Turn to your neighbor and say, where are you? Come on, ask him. Come on, ask him. Preach with me. Preach with me. Come on, ask him. Come on. Are you in the wrong place? Come on, ask him. Are you in the wrong place? It's a wonderful lesson, y'all. It's a wonderful lesson. Let me tell you why. It's not designed to make us feel bad. It's designed for us to evaluate ourselves because God got some things in the right place for us. Does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you?